Once again, the Fox, your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox in College.
And then it was time for a maniacal Monday edition of Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese, and yep, it could be you. Phone line is open and available for your use as we start a brand new week at 814-954-7266. Our first caller of the week gets
what?
The honor of being the first caller of the week.
Oh, yeah, that's a big honor. Yeah, okay.
Opportunity awaits,
yes.
Ladies and gentlemen.
There
who will it be that's the big winner this week? And if you have kids at home, don't allow them to look out your window right at the moment, at least if you're in our neck of the woods.
Oh, it's beautiful.
This is horrific. This is awful.
It's gorgeous.
It's the...
Come on. At least it's pretty much...
Last thing I wanted to see.
At least it's pretty much coming straight down as opposed to sideways. Yeah, depending on where you are, we got some beautiful flurries here at our studio on Science Park Road. It's gorgeous. Actually, I only hit one on my drive-in. I figured, this isn't going to be much. And for us, frankly, it's not going to be much. All right. Our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, scheduled to join us later next hour. So we'll get the full rundown. Some places, it's going to turn into something here like today, tomorrow.
It's the end of the world. Let's be honest, folks. Snow in central Pennsylvania.
In November?
In November!
Oh my gosh!
I'm just not ready.
It's the
I know. Yes. Joe Bastardi will tell us.
He warned us.
I should be ready.
Ago.
Yes. He's been warning us for quite some time.
So,
I don't.
If you listen here, nobody should be surprised. Right? Nobody. Now, at one point, I can't remember when, last week. All right, again, future weather forecasts, like from these companies and snow, I'm skeptical sometimes. We were supposed to get snow squalls today. Now, that's bad, all right, especially for driving. I don't think that's supposed to happen here. Yeah, it's still going to be a little breezy. Yeah, you could actually maybe hit a brief squall. But, hey, you could be in Chicago where apparently they're supposed to get a foot of snow.
Well, yeah, they
in Chicago, parts of Indiana, Ohio, upstate New York, like Buffalo, Ontario, is supposed to, lake effect snow near the lakes. They're supposed to get kind of hammered in some of these places. So we're not, we're still going to see green grass today and tomorrow. All right. But still, folks, all right, this is not the day to go joyriding down the road. Let's take it easy. All right. You might, again, depending on where you are, you might hit a brief squall, maybe. What I'm, I guess, a little more interested in, we're probably going to have sub-freezing nights every night this week. Now, that's a first. All right. Yeah, it's a cold snap, and it's hitting us. Sub-freezing nights probably every night this week. So prepare yourself accordingly. Yeah, powder puff football game Wednesday night. Oh, boy, is that going to be fun. out my way in Penns Valley, the girls are doing their annual powder puff game, and it is going to be cold on Wednesday night. Woo. Anyway, so stay tuned. Also, here's a big anniversary. Did you know this? This day 50 years ago, come on, actually, you should go find this song. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Remember that tune? That was Gordon Lightfoot. Well, the actual wreck, because that was a real thing, happened 50 years ago today. 1975, up on Lake Superior, the big lake, Gitchigumi. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the gales of November come early, which is what happened 50 years ago.
What makes that lake so superior anyway?
It's really big. That's why.
It's not the size of the lake. It's the way we use the lakes. Come on.
Okay, that's an interesting philosophy, but all right, that's fine. 50 years ago today was that this big gale. I mean, the Edmund Fitzgerald was this gigantic freight ship. And it was huge, and goes out on a doing its job, and this, I guess, unexpected, really big gale blows up, and they didn't batten down their hatches, and the Fitzgerald just disappeared.
Now, hit the iceberg, and Leonardo DiCaprio was never heard from again.
On a lake?
It was a sad
I think you're confusing your ships.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think so. So, and then Gordon Lightfoot. Came out with his hit song, I think, just a year later. And, you know, that's the one. Maybe we have to play that later. That'll be a hot song on radio stations today. All right? The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, 50 years ago today. Wow. I had some fun this weekend.
Did you?
Yeah, I had a couple of announcing gigs. Yesterday, I had a chance to announce a youth soccer game. Now, you might think, oh, what's the big deal?
Yeah, what's the big deal about that, dude?
The kids and the parents thought it was a big deal. In this case, this was soccer, what's called U13. So all the kids are supposed to be under the age of 13. So figure, what would that be, 6th grade, 5th grade, maybe 4th grade. That would be more like 10-year-olds, I suppose, but that's under 13. Penns Valley team was playing a team from Dubois.
Well, 2-year-olds are under 13.
Well, I doubt they're
playing.
Are there
a lot of 2-year-olds out there?
Not playing.
They're under
soccer.
13.
Well, that is true. That
Come
is
on.
Under 13, but that's...
Discriminatory
That's a
practices.
Bit too far under, okay. So they called me, like, Scott, can you announce our game? I'm like, okay, that what the heck, sounds like fun. Because the idea is we want to try to get the message across to these kids. Yeah, we want you to keep playing, have fun, and when you get up to the high school level, this is what you get. You get the announcing, you get the big field. We're on the big field, Penns Valley football field. If it had been at night, now this was in the afternoon, but we would have turned the lights on and all that sort of stuff. And afterwards, I was told the kids were thrilled. The parents loved it. Great. That's great. I'm glad everybody had a good time. Friday night, I did the Penn State men's soccer game, which was the final game of their season. They were playing Michigan. Now, do you have this in your sports report here in a few minutes?
I do.
You do? Okay. Well, then I won't give too much away.
Build the anticipation.
The one thing that just kind of struck me was actually after the game Friday night. So Michigan is ranked, I think they were ranked number 10.
They were indeed.
All right. And so Penn State, okay, I'll give it away. Penn State played them to a draw.
What?
All right, I'm sorry.
Oh, there goes my whole sport.
No, the whole, yeah.
I was building my whole cast around that big moment.
Yeah.
And now, spoiler alert.
I think you have one other game.
I don't even want to do sports now.
One other game in mind. All
What's
right,
the
please.
Point?
Give me a break. But what struck me was after that game, Penn State, Michigan's still playing. They're going to keep on going. Penn State is done. And, you know, we never much think about this unless maybe you were in the moment. I'm up in the press box. The game's over. You know, I'm starting to pack up my stuff.
Starting to swig your bourbon.
Please.
We know how it goes. Go ahead.
In the Penn State
Continue press... Continue with your story.
In the Penn State press box? Okay, yeah.
I know what you smuggle in there. Don't try to play coy.
I won't name the player, but a Penn State player just... He gets down on the ground, and you could tell this was an extremely emotional moment for him. I mean, he just realized... This is the last time either I'm going to play at Jeffrey Field. It's the last time I'm going to play in a Penn State soccer game. And you could just tell by looking at him from a distance, the emotions overtook him. I mean, he was very emotional. And he was kind of by himself for a few seconds. And then one or two of his teammates came over and kind of gave him a hug and all that sort of thing. you know, if you've never been in that situation, and I can't really say that I have because, frankly, I tried to play sports when I was in school, but I wasn't good enough. All right, I just couldn't make the cut. Other guys were better in a couple of different sports. They just were. So I can't say I was ever in this position, but if I had been, just for a moment, I kind of felt for that guy. Like, okay, this is the end. You will not do this again. And I can imagine how that can be emotional. All right, Mr. Penn State wrestling guy. Should I assume you've seen that with Penn State wrestlers? Like, they realize this is the end of my Penn State career.
No, nobody ever really cares with the wrestling program. Oh, they don't.
Yeah, right.
They don't get emotional like that. They don't get close to their teammates or coaches, and so it's no big deal.
Okay, you want to try again?
No, it's funny how you, it's life, right? Like, there's just phases, stages of life. It's funny just seeing it through my kiddo's perspective, to bring it back to me, because I got to bring everything back to me. Mm-hmm. But our kiddo is in his last year of elementary school. And it's like, well, so we're thinking, man, this is exciting. You're the big kids in the school. You'll rule the school. What an opportunity. Last year of scouting with the Cub Scouts. So move on to Scouting America next year. But AOL, again, kind of same thing. You're the big dogs. And our kid was, I don't want to oversell, but he was crestfallen. And this is before the year is starting, that he's like, I'll never go to Coral Street again. It's like, well, all right, but you have a whole year coming up. He's like, I know, but then that's it. And it's like, well, I mean, yeah. And he's like, so I'll never be with this group of friends, like just us, again. And I'm like, well, yeah, but then you're gonna have them plus all of your, and kind of same thing with scouting. Like, now you have this core group, and yeah, people are gonna go their different ways, but some of you probably will still end up in the. But it just the perspective. It's like, yeah, this is the last time, and when it hits you with something like that, and again, it hits different people differently at different stages for sure. But I just had a friend of mine I was talking to last week who just retired and very excited about it, but also it's like, I spent 40 plus years and the company he worked for was a really good company. And he's like, yeah, it just is like, I'm excited about it. I'm happy with my decision, and he's staying a little involved for the next 6 months or so. So it's, he's kind of phasing into retirement, I guess, if you will. But he's like, yeah, just, they had a nice celebration and all of that. He goes, but it just kind of hit me. It's like, oh, yeah, this really is like the end of a long, important, big phase of my life. And I'm like, well, yeah, I hear what you're saying now. It's... And that college experience is just unique. I mean, I guess the high school experience is unique. College, I'm sure, for those that go on to professional endeavors, there's a different feeling of accomplishment there, even when that career ends and you realize for sure that your participation as an athlete in a sport is coming to an end. But yeah, hopefully what that tells you, it's just like they, when somebody dies, it is the impact you've had, right? Is, if you're the person who has died, is shown by the amount of emotion, that folks have over your passing. And if you're forming those bonds and they're very unique bonds. I didn't do it collegiately. I played rugby for about 4 months. That was the closest thing. And I had a great experience there, but that was the closest thing that I had. But that bond with students that are going through all of the things you go through in college, and you're going through the practices. You're going through the ups and downs of the wins and losses. All of those things, it does form a unique bond, a unique friendship. And in many cases, those are friendships that will last a lifetime because of the commonality of the experience that you had. But yeah, it can be tough. And I think generally speaking, people are excited. Goon has talked about it. Like when his career was over with Penn State, he was ready for that part of his career to be over. But that moment in the locker room when you realize, oh my gosh, this is the last time with these guys that we just came through together, and most of them 5 years of shared experiences here at Penn State, playing for the same coaches, seeing the, again, ups and downs of the program. I get it. It's a very tough thing, very emotional. And again, different for different people. Some people get more emotional, others get more excited, just like with everything else in life. But transition is always, for the overwhelming majority of us, maybe there's a few folks out there that, I'm ready, I can transition with the best of them. Most of us struggle with it a little bit. It's not an easy thing.
Yeah, the end of something.
Yep.
And so I just watched it with this player Friday night. I really fell for him. Like, oh, man. That must be overwhelming. Then some of his teammates came over. They realized what was going on, and they gave him hugs. And a lot of other guys got hugs and so on because that was it. That's the end of their season. So, wow. Then I went out to the parking lot. Now, if you remember the weather Friday night, it was not great. All right,
It was not ideal.
We had rain showers. I mean, at the game, the few fans, there weren't that many fans at Jeffrey Field Friday night because it was just, it was awful, especially in the second half. A couple of waves of rather heavy showers came in, and people are quickly trying to put up their umbrellas. Not everybody. There was one guy.
The umbrellas are turning inside out. Yeah. That's always
one guy dresses. I don't know why. One guy dresses up in a banana costume. All right. He was one soggy banana on Friday night because it was really, luckily at Press Box, we were cool. We were fine, but down there. So in the parking lot, which was called Stadium West between Jeffrey Field and Beaver Stadium, there were very few cars on Friday night because there was nothing else going on. The hockey teams were either away or not playing, and there was nothing else going on. So tons and tons and tons of open spaces. So I pull into the parking lot. Of course, now you got to do everything electronically and you got to pay online and all this other stuff. And, you know, it's like, okay, I got wide open spaces. Where should I go?
Got to make sure you park head in to make it as dangerous as possible when you're pulling out.
So, yeah, these are like end-to-end parking spaces. Mm-hmm. So I thought, all right, I'll do what most people would do. I pulled through
so that I could pull out.
There was a van next to me.
Mr. Geezy, like we will not allow that. On our campus.
You reading my mind?
Oh, I got it. I got one earlier.
You've gotten one, too?
Yeah.
I got a parking violation from the Penn State Transportation Services Office. So I'm leaving, and I'm like, what's out of my windshield? And I pull it over. I'm like, oh, you have got to be kidding.
Nope. That's now, the Penn State way, baby.
Now, I tell you what. I would maybe understand if the parking lot was full. Like, in other words, when was that? 3 weeks ago or whatever? There was a soccer game. I called a soccer game. And there was a hockey game at Pagula. Same night.
Yeah, because when it's full, there's going to be a lot of people in the parking lot. And backing up at night, is nothing can go wrong there. Yeah, you want to make sure you create that scenario as often as possible. Geniuses at Penn State's parking office.
I mean,
what a clown show.
I'm looking at this.
Is.
It says violation. Improper display.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, what the H is that? Improper display. Then I got to go down a little further. There's a comment. Failure to display plate. Plate must face drive lane.
That's right.
And this is a $10 fine. Now, yep. Again, there
on
was...
On top of the absurdly high parking
$10
that you
for
paid.
The parking space, mm-hmm. Yeah, so $20. So I did get paid, or I will get paid for doing the soccer game Friday night, but after all this
good
is
chunk
done,
of it will go right
I mean, maybe
back.
I can go get a hamburger or mm-hmm. something. I don't know. But I just... for the and we know the folks at Penn State are listening. We know you're listening. All right. Again, there was virtually nobody in that parking lot Friday night. You're telling me that some parking person couldn't get their fat butt out of their vehicle.
That is correct.
And just say, okay, there's plenty. Let me go around back. What's the plate number? Okay, yeah, he paid. That's fine. You couldn't. I mean, there weren't that many vehicles in the parking lot that night. You could have easily done this. It's not like my parking, my license plate was blocked
you
by another vehicle.
You will comply with our orders to make things as dangerous as possible, and we will make sure you do it.
To my knowledge, nobody was parked behind me because there was virtually nobody in the lot. Somebody couldn't have gone behind, even driven their little vehicle behind my car. Okay, what's the plate number? Yep, okay, they're good. You couldn't have taken the time to do that. Now, Penn State, you've got enough
I'm
to
sure
worry
there's
about.
There's no correlation between your experience and the fact that there were so few fans. It was just all the weather, I'm sure, at the game. I'm sure that the parking experience is not at all responsible for keeping fans away from some of these events. Couldn't possibly be.
Penn State has enough issues right now without creating other ones. Now I've got 30 days to pay this, and mm-hmm. I got my there's a little envelope, all right, little envelope here. I am ever so tempted to somehow fight this because this is stupid. All right, are you that desperate for money that you pull this maneuver?
Well, now I know what the response is going to be. Well, sir, that's our rule. You didn't
yep.
have a facing out.
Well, I could argue. Well, I kind of was facing out because there was nobody behind me. All right, there was no vehicle behind me, and if there is, show me a picture of a vehicle behind me. Because I got to the game early, obviously, I had to prepare to announce and all that sort of stuff, and I was not one of the last people to leave, but the fans had already long gone. And when I got back to my car, I'm like, well, there's nobody around here again. I'm so tempted to fight this. I don't know, I've got 30 days, well, less than 30 days now to figure out what I want to do with this thing. But still, I've heard all the complaints about Penn State recruits that come in, and they get parking tickets. Penn State, does positive PR mean anything to you?
No.
Apparently not.
What is funny is the amount of time they spend trying to control narratives and the remarkably poor job they do at it. Like, that is also... But the safety component alone, like you have the attendance there anyway. Why not just collect the freaking money and hand it in and you know everybody there and then people can actually park the way they see fit? Like, this should not be as complicated as Penn State makes it. The other part of it, I am sincere on the safety issue of this. When you were talking about night events, which a large number of these events are, all right, it is dark. I don't know if you have noticed, but at a lot, I have. A lot of these Penn State sports events, outside of football and hockey, do you know what comprises a large portion of your fan base? It is senior citizens. Look
yes.
around sometime
yes.
when you're at a soccer mm-hmm. game. Look around sometime when you're at a wrestling match. Look around. Well, so you are now purposely, we will not allow you to have your... the ability to face out so that when you pull out at night, you can see directly in front of you. Nope. We're going to have senior citizens walking through the parking lot, senior citizens backing up, and I get it's not just senior citizens. I think this is a dangerous situation for everybody, but people that are moving a little slower, people that are not as quick to notice what's happening around...
really, this is your brilliant idea to get a little extra money in the coffers at Penn State parking? Could somebody just spend a little time thinking in advance? And it's like, yeah, you know what? Maybe we lose out on $30, $50 here on a given night. Okay. For the safety part of it and the convenience part of it, and so people have a good overall experience. Nah, the hell with that. Let's make sure the fans okay
are frustrated.
God bless you. God bless you.
That's just
but
oh, man.
The just the lack of vision, the lack of common sense. It is to me absolutely astounding.
Well, we got to take a break here now. You know what the upshot is? Right now in my wallet, I have a $10 bill. And I've got this little envelope, and I thought, okay, maybe I'll just slip the $10 bill in here. Right here in bold letters, cash payment is not accepted. Oh, for God's sakes.
Yep.
Okay, Penn State, keep punching yourself in the face. I don't know why you keep doing that, but you do it constantly. Board of Trustees does it. This does it. Some other things do it. And you wonder why people are angry at this university in some cases. Look in the mirror. All right, let's take our break.
Ugh. Back with a check of sports after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Begins.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel. But a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you, and we'll have some open phone time coming up. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Give him a piece of my mind this morning.
Oh, yeah, I want to see this.
What's going on? Snow in November in central Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Outrageous!
Okay.
I'm just not ready for it. But right now we take a check of sports. A valiant effort by the Penn State football team Saturday, but second-ranked Indiana made a couple of spectacular catches on the final drive to pull out the 27-24 win at Beaver Stadium. The Hoosiers remain undefeated through 10 games this season. The Nittany Lions now fall to 3-6, and the losing streak is now at 6 games. Nicholas Singleton had a couple of touchdown runs and a touchdown reception. He finished with 143 all-purpose yards in Saturday's loss. Ethan Grunkmeyer completed 22 of 31 passes for 219 yards and a touchdown. Penn State tried this crazy thing where they were throwing the ball down the middle of the field. It was... I don't know if they changed the rules in college football, but apparently now this is being permitted.
Yeah, how about that?
And Penn State decided, what the heck, let's try. Penn State's defense racked up 3 sacks, 8 tackles for a loss, and 6 quarterback hurries, but Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza, brilliant on the final drive, getting some help from his receivers. An amazing catch in the back of the end zone by Omar Cooper with 1:15 remaining as he got his toes down for the score. Charlie Becker had another great catch along the sideline to set up that winning score. And so Penn State, tough one at home on Saturday. Penn State will try again to snap the losing streak as the Nittany Lions visit Michigan State this Saturday in a 3:30 kickoff. Elsewhere in the Big Ten, USC blasted Northwestern Friday night 38-17. Ohio State erupted in the second quarter to beat Purdue 34-10. Oregon found a way to get the win at Iowa 18-16. Wisconsin stunned Washington 13-10. It was Nebraska over UCLA 28-21, and Rutgers ran all over Maryland 35-20. Some other games of note Saturday: Texas Tech shutting down BYU 29-7. Cougars losing for the first time this season. Alabama defeated LSU 20-9. Texas A&M remains unbeaten with a 38-17 rout of Missouri. It was Georgia over Mississippi State 41-21. Wake Forest knocking off Virginia 16-9. California upended Louisville in overtime 29-26. Notre Dame was able to sink Navy. See what I did there? 49-10. And Vanderbilt survived a 45-38 overtime scare from Auburn. Not a good day Saturday for the Penn State hockey team. The Nittany Lions never found their rhythm against number one ranked Michigan State. The Spartans dominated in a 5-0 victory in East Lansing. Josh Fleming made 43 saves in the loss for the Nittany Lions. Trey Augustine, he's pretty good in goal for Michigan State. He posted the shutout with 36 saves. Charlie Strammel had 2 goals and an assist to lead the Spartans' attack. Much closer game on Friday night. Michigan State prevailing there in overtime 2-1. Kevin Radler had 30 saves in that one for Penn State. Gavin McKenna scored the only goal of the weekend for the Nittany Lions in that first game Friday night. Tiernan Shouty scored the game winner for Michigan State in overtime Friday night. The Spartans now 7-1 on the year, 2-0 in the Big Ten. Nittany Lions fall to 9-3 on the year, 2-2 in the Big Ten. Penn State does get a point out of the series. The Nittany Lions will host second-ranked Michigan in games at Pagoula Ice Arena this Friday night at 7 and Saturday night at 6 o'clock. The Penn State men's basketball team picking up an easy 87-43 win at New Haven on Saturday. Dominic Stewart scored 18 points to lead the Nittany Lions, a 44-point margin of victory. That's the largest for Penn State in a road game in 50 years. Penn State shot 52.5% from the field, scored 29 points off 19 New Haven turnovers. Nittany Lions getting 16 points from Caden Mingo, who added 6 assists and 6 rebounds. Nittany Lions are now 2-0 and will host a really good and really veteran Navy team on Veterans Day tomorrow evening. That'll be a 6:30 tip-off at the Bryce Jordan Center. 6:30 tomorrow night. That game will air on the Big Ten Network. And Penn State basketball coach Mike Rhodes will be a guest with Goon Conlon and the Players Show over at the Penn State Golf Courses tonight at 6 o'clock. You can listen for that program right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. State college football team rolling to a 41-7 victory at McDowell in a PIAA 6A sub-regional game Friday night. Deontay Sheffy had a touchdown run and a touchdown catch and finished with over 100 yards rushing and 63 receiving yards. Connor Kolka threw for over 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. Hank Lustig had a touchdown catch and an interception. The Little Lions forcing 5 turnovers in all to improve to 9-2 on the season. State College will now take on 8-4 Wilkes-Barre, not on Friday night at Memorial Field. Nope, not now. Instead, it'll be Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock at Milton High School. Apparently, if you complain loud enough, as Wilkes-Barre did, the PIAA just changes the things around for you.
Oh, nice.
Winner will advance to the PIAA 6A quarterfinals the following week. Bellefonte quarterback Alton Howell ran for 120 yards and a big fourth quarter touchdown, and the Red Raiders with a 17-6 victory over Juniata in the District 6 Quad A championship game Friday night at Mifflin County High School. Bellefonte's defense smothered Juniata all night long, allowing just one touchdown and forcing a couple of turnovers. The Red Raiders are now 6-6 and will host undefeated District 4 champion Shamokin. They didn't bitch loud enough in the opening round of the PIAA Quad A playoffs Friday night, with kickoff at Rogers Stadium set for 7 o'clock. The Bald Eagle Area Girls Volleyball team saw its season end in the PIAA AA State Quarterfinals Saturday afternoon at Clarion High School. Corey sweeping the Lady Eagles 25-17, 25-14, and 25-15 to remain undefeated on the season. Lee Bryan led Bald Eagle Area with 6 kills, while Emily Smith added 5. Bald Eagle Area finished the season with a record of 21-4. Corey advances to take on Avonworth in the semifinals tomorrow night. Penn State wrestler Tyler Kasak winning the 70-kilogram division at the Bill Farrell Memorial Tournament in New York City Saturday. Kasak won the freestyle event with a 10-0 technical fall over Zachary Clark in the quarterfinals, then a big 6-3 decision over Virginia Tech national champion Caleb Henson in the semifinals, and then prevailed in a 3-2 battle with U.S. national team member Ian Parker in the gold medal match. Penn State wrestling alum Bo Bartlett lost to Bishop McCourt senior Bo Bassett in the 65-kilo finals, 15-5, the final there. Also,
winning for the U.S., Mason Paris at 125 kilos, Austin DeSanto at 61 kilos, Marcus Coleman, who was trailing Parker Kekizen 9-0 when he got the win by fall at 86 kilos in the finals, also winning Will Lawan. At 74 kilos, Dan Bronigal at 79 kilos. Jacob Cardenas was an interesting story. He won gold at 92 kilos, also entered and won silver at 97 kilos.
What?
Yeah. I don't know that I've, I don't remember.
How do you do that?
Seeing that. Okay. But he entered in two weight classes and got to the finals in both. Yaroslav Slavkovsky, beat him in the, finals at 97 kilos, the Rutgers alum wrestling for Belarus, and then Nebraska alum Caleb Smith wrestling for Puerto Rico won gold at 57 kilos. Also, Penn State recruit Sam Herring went 1-2 in the event at 61 kilos. At the Journeyman Collegiate Classic yesterday, Penn State's Connor Pierce lost in the finals at 149 pounds to Cross Wazalewski of Penn 4-2. Penn State's Joe Seeley lost a hard-fought 10-9 decision in the finals at 157. Sam Beckett lost in the finals at 165, 9-0 to Alejandro Herrera Rondon of Clarion, and Dawson Bundy finished fourth for the Nittany Lions at heavyweight. Penn State, of course, getting ready to open its dual season against Oklahoma in the Jordan Center Friday night. That match will get underway at 6 o'clock Friday evening. Penn State women's volleyball team going 1-1 on the weekend. The Nittany Lions yesterday getting the victory at Illinois in four sets, 25-23, 25-27, 25-23, and 25-22. Kennedy Martin led Penn State with 22 kills and 11 digs. Addie Lyons added 52 assists. Addie Lyon, no S. 52 assists. Jordan Hoppe had 6 blocks. Maggie Mendelson added 16 kills with a 5.16 hitting percentage. On Friday night, Penn State lost to ninth-ranked Purdue in West Lafayette. The Boilermakers sweeping Penn State 25-20, 25-21, and 25-22. Kennedy Martin had 20 kills in the loss Friday night. Penn State is now 14-10 on the season, 8-6 in Big Ten matches. Penn State will visit Minnesota Friday night and then will return home to take on Ohio State Sunday in a 2 o'clock match at Rec Hall. Lady Lion basketball team is now 2-0 after holding off Cincinnati Friday night, 82-77. Keomi McMiller leading Penn State with 20 points and also added 7 assists, 5 rebounds, and 5 steals. Gracie Merkel added 14 points and 12 rebounds for the Lady Lions. Penn State will host Coppin State tomorrow, or Wednesday morning. That'll be an 11:30 a.m. tip-off Wednesday at Rec Hall. Penn State men's soccer team wrapping up its season Friday night, battling 10th-ranked Michigan to a scoreless draw. Penn State goalie Jonathan Evans making 3 saves to post his 4th shutout of his redshirt freshman campaign. The Nittany Lions finished the year with a record of 5 wins, 8 losses, and 5 ties. Penn State went 1-6-3 in the Big Ten. Mixed results for the Penn State swimming teams on Friday at Army West Point. The men picked up a 169-130 victory, while the women lost 170-125. Mario Lazzarini won both the 100 and 200 breaststroke for Penn State. Eduardo Cisternas won both the 500 and 1,000 freestyle titles, and teammate Tyler Kim claimed titles in both the 50 and 100 freestyle. On the women's side, Penn State's Morgan Moore won the 1,000 free, and Catherine Meisner took the 200 freestyle title. Penn State fencing teams wrapping up competition at the Elite Invitational at Ohio State yesterday. Both the men's and women's teams lost to Notre Dame, but defeated Cleveland State. The men also picked up a win over Wayne State, while the women fell to Northwestern. Penn State will compete at the Brandeis Invitation in Boston, Massachusetts on Sunday, December 7th.
11th. The Penn State women's soccer team will learn this afternoon if it receives an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament, which gets underway on Thursday. The Nittany Lions are 9-7-3 on the season, 5-4-2 in the Big Ten. The selection show will get underway at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The Pittsburgh Steelers had a mistake-prone night in Los Angeles and lost to the Chargers 25-10. It was a very frustrating experience for Steelers fans who stayed up watching, hopeful that their team would eventually show up. They just never did.
You mean like the two of us?
Yeah, that would be an example. Pittsburgh lost cornerback Darius Slay to a concussion early, and cornerback Joey Porter Jr. then left the game in the third quarter with another injury. Steelers offense turned the ball over three times, Aaron Rodgers throwing a couple of picks. He was sacked in his own end zone for a safety by Khalil Mack. At least he fell on the ball, so it wasn't a touchdown, but at the end of the day, what did it really matter? The Steelers are now 5-4 in the season, still leading the AFC North, but now by just one game over the Baltimore Ravens, who have now won three straight. Pittsburgh will host Cincinnati this coming Sunday. Oh, it'll be nice to see the Bengals take care of business, dear Steelers, in the 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Elsewhere in the NFL, Jonathan Taylor ran for 244 yards and three touchdowns. That's what we call a good day. And the Colts earned a 31-25 overtime win in Berlin. The shocker was in Miami, where the Dolphins dominated the Bills 30-13. What? The Ravens forced three Vikings turnovers in the 27-19 win over Minnesota. Again, Ravens have won three straight and now just sit one game behind the Steelers in the AFC North. Two teams still have two meetings against each other remaining this season. Rams continue to roll, beating the 49ers 42-26. Lions doubled up on the Commanders 44-22. Seahawks continue their remarkable season, 44-22 win over the Cardinals. The Texans knocked off the Jaguars 36-29. It was the Bears over the Giants 24-20. The Patriots also looking very good. They get a big win over the Buccaneers in Tampa, 28-23. It was the Saints over the Panthers, 17-7. And the Jets got by the Browns, 27-20. The Jets had just a little more hap. Tonight, the Philadelphia Eagles will visit the Green Bay Packers. Kickoff is set for 8:15. Airtime here on Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox is set for 7:30. The Eagles are 6-2 on the season, while the Packers come in at 5-2-1. Some sad news yesterday as former NFL commissioner Paul Tagliabue died at the age of 84. Tagliabue was the league's commissioner for 17 years from 1986 through 2006. He had been battling Parkinson's disease and passed away from heart failure yesterday morning in Chevy Chase, Maryland. The Pittsburgh Penguins gave up a couple of third-period goals to the L.A. Kings, and they lost 3-2. Kevin Fiala scored the game winner with 8:08 remaining for his 500th point in the NHL. Anthony Mantha and Tommy Novak scored the Penguins' goals. That was yesterday's loss following the Penguins' loss in a shootout to the Devils Saturday 2-1. Ryan Graves had the Pittsburgh goal in that one. Paul Cotter scored the shootout winner for New Jersey on Saturday. Pittsburgh has now lost its last two and three of its last four. Penguins sitting at 9-5-3 on the season. Philadelphia Flyers lost to the Maple Leafs Saturday 5-2. Christian Dvorak and Tyson Forster had the Philadelphia goals. The Flyers are now 6-4-1 and will host the Oilers on Wednesday night. 76ers lost to the Pistons 111-108 yesterday. Tyrese Maxey led Philadelphia with 33 points. The Sixers are now 6-4 and will host the Celtics tomorrow night. NBA legend Lenny Wilkins has died at the age of 88. Wilkins was enshrined into the Basketball Hall of Fame as both a player and a coach. He was a 9-time All-Star as a point guard, coached an NBA record 2,487 games, and was the head coach of the gold medal winning U.S. Olympic team in 1996. L.A. Dodgers reliever Alex Vesia, who missed the World Series because of what the team said at the time was a deeply personal matter, revealed on Friday that his daughter Sterling did pass away. Heartbreaking stuff, posting, our little angel, we love you forever, and you're with us always. Vesia and his wife, Kayla, posting that on an Instagram note, saying our beautiful daughter went to heaven on, Sunday, October 26th. There are no words to describe the pain we're going through, but we hold, her in our hearts and cherish every second we had with her. Vesia went 4-2 with a 3.02 earned run average in 68 regular season games. Again, did not obviously appear in the World Series. The Dodgers relievers wore Vesia's 51 on their caps in tribute during that World Series. Blue Jays relievers joined them in that tribute for Game 6 as well. And, oh, this scandal, scandals, I should say. Cleveland Guardians pitchers Manuel Clase and Luis Ortiz have been indicted on a host of charges tied to allegedly rigging pitches thrown during Major League Baseball games. This according to a 23-page indictment that was unsealed yesterday in a Brooklyn, New York courthouse. The two had been on paid leave from the league since July and now face charges of wire fraud, conspiracy, honest services wire fraud conspiracy, conspiracy to influence sporting contests by bribery, and money laundering conspiracy related to a scheme to predetermine certain pitches that netted bettors hundreds of thousands in winnings. Ugh. I'm just telling you, I truly believe, and a lot of people a lot more connected and a lot brighter than me firmly believe we are just scratching the surface here of the many, many, many instances of, fraud, rigging games. This is going to get ugly,
yes.
Really ugly, really fast.
Yeah.
And how widespread? And my question is: are there any leagues out there that won't be affected? And I'm not sure at the end of the day that there will be.
No,
unfortunately.
If I throw a ball on this pitch, I could get $5,000.
Well,
I just have to throw a ball on this pitch.
And here's the other thing, Scott. I don't know. The integrity of the game, right, is crucial to fan involvement. You want to see a game that you believe is on the up and up. If you're being told this is a competition between two teams that are going out there and doing their best, you want that to be the case. And one of the problems, one of the many problems here now, is every time, like, we have seen some horrendous officiating, right? Like, I mean, a call where it's like, well, there was absolutely no contact. Why would there be a flag there for interference? Or a ball that is, like, right down the middle, and that's a ball. It's called a ball. Or a ball that is, like, 6 inches off the plate, and it's like, strike! It's like, well, what's going on there? Well, now, every time, everyone, it's possible that the umpire is just incompetent, missed a call, all of that, or possible somebody, hey, umpie, that third pitch of the second inning, that needs to be a strike no matter what. Good God.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is ugly.
Not good.
Not good. I mean, I don't know. They need to somehow outlaw that kind of betting.
I don't know. I mean, yes, and also I trying to put something back in the box is really difficult. Really difficult.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break. We have an open line program, and oh my gosh, we could be talking till this evening. We got lot of material. U.S. Senate was a little busy last night.
Uh-huh.
That was interesting. Some other sportsy stuff, other things, and your calls. So, hey, let's get going. But first, let's take a break. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We will come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now, that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's Let's Talk on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266 gets you into the big show this morning.
All right, folks, here's your chance. Sound off, yay, nay, angry, whatever. This is your opportunity. Met a listener yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I was calling this youth soccer game out at Penns Valley High School. And it rained a little bit, but for the most part, it was a nice day. We had the doors and windows open, and this lady walks in to the press box, and she comes up to me, and she's like, "Are you that guy on 98.7 The Fox?"
Oh, that guy.
And just for a moment, I'm like, okay, is this an axe murderer? No, I didn't think that. I think my response was, well, maybe.
Always a good response.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I knew it was you. And I'm like, okay. And I said, well, Penns Valley, this is where I live. All right, I live right over that ridge. I live right here. So hello to our listeners in Howard. All right, the lady mentioned she is from the Howard area, says she loves the show, loves the station. I'm like, great, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's great. So hello to Howard. All right, so all our folks in Howard. That's kind of cool. Let's see, Penn State-Indiana game. What do you think? Besides that. First off, that last drive will go down in Indiana lore.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding? It will go down in Indiana lore. Now,
it will be revered similarly to the 94 drive for Penn State against Illinois.
Illinois, yeah. And it was a long drive.
Yep.
And it's, you know, it's easy to get frustrated. Like, okay, once again, the Penn State defense couldn't slam the door. They had the opportunity.
I thought I was working hard to be as frustrated as I was this weekend. Between the Penn State game, the Steelers game, and then you throw in for good measure the Penn State hockey game, especially Saturday, and the Penguins games this weekend. And
not a good
week, I don't think
yeah.
I need any more frustration. It's just sports, Ironhead.
Well,
I know. Stupid sports.
Three more games to play. How about we give Indiana credit? They made
amazing. That doesn't sound right.
Oh, come on.
I don't want to give anybody else credit.
They made some amazing plays on that drive.
I don't know. I've watched it way too many times. I don't know how he got his feet down. And actually, I think he got both. I think that would have been good in the NFL. I don't know how he got a toe in, let alone just an absolutely incredible effort. And again, we talk about football, that game of inches. Well, my God, was that a game of inches on Saturday?
Yeah. At first glance, I thought his 1 foot came down on the line. Now, that was from a distance. I thought, yeah. Oh, he touched the line. Then, Fox had a perfect camera placement right down the line. And sure enough, I'm like, holy crap, he got his foot down. How did he the position of his body and dumb luck, all right, throw in some dumb luck or bad luck, depending on how you look at it, and he gets his foot down. Amazing, all right, so... I might be rooting for Indiana because I'm sorry, I'm not rooting for Ohio State. I'm not doing that. I might sort of, if you will, kind of pull for Indiana, you know, down the stretch. Mm. Let's see what these guys can do. Still not a Cignetti fan, but still. Now they play Michigan State Saturday. Both these teams are winless in the Big Ten. They are equally not good. So where's this going to go? Now, it's interesting. Penn State is the favorite. I think they're a favorite almost by a touchdown for Saturday. Saturday, what time's that game?
3:30.
That's right, 3:30. Okay. We still don't know the times for the last two, do we? Nebraska and Rutgers? We don't know that yet. Okay. What do you do? As far as hockey's concerned, Penn State's, for me, from my observation, is a team still trying to find itself. First off, Aiden Fink is out for a while. Now, he was up for the Hobie last spring.
Yep.
So he's a big, big, important player. He's out for a while. So we'll have to see what goes with that. Michigan State, of course, is ranked number one. They are very, very good. They were playing on their own ice. I'm a bit maybe more interested in this weekend's matchup back here with Michigan. Michigan was ranked number two. So let's see what this team can do with Michigan at Pagula this weekend. But folks, keep in mind it's November. If you remember last season, this team was clunking along until the holidays. And we're all thinking, what's the matter with this team? Why aren't they doing better? And they get past the holidays, and it was like somebody flicked a switch, And it's like off they went. It's only November. Got a long way to go. Okay. And then we got this wrestling stuff, you know, whatever, this crazy sport coming up later this week. Carter Storace has a street named for him in Erie. All right, because he's from Erie, right?
That is correct.
All right? He apparently has a street now named for him in Erie. I saw this on, I think, social media. I saw it. I'm like, okay, why not? You know, Carter, favored son of Erie, and Erie's posing there with people, and there's this street sign, Carter Storace 5X Way, or something like that. All right, some ridiculously long name. So congratulations to Carter. Not everybody gets a street named for you. All right, that's pretty cool. And then for soccer, all right, now I'm a soccer guy, Scott here. The Canadian Premier League Championship was yesterday in Ottawa. Now, if you follow weather, it was snowing. This is a soccer game, and it's snowing, and it's snowing more. We're not talking about flurries like we have here this morning. We're talking snow. And these two teams from Ottawa and a team called Cavalry, played each other last night, and it went to overtime, of course, in a snowstorm. And finally, Ottawa was the winner, 2-1. You see very, very, very few soccer games played in the snow. I don't know, for obvious reasons. At some point, they had to get a tractor out so they could clear where they could see the lines on the field. That's how deep the snow was. I mean, it was insane. I saw clips of this. I'm like, holy fright. Are you serious? You're going to keep on playing? They kept on playing. Overtime, the guy from Ottawa scores the winning goal. People go crazy. That's a game that they will remember for more than just the championship. I mean, this was an insane soccer game last night up in Ottawa, Canada. What the heck? And finally, before we break, all right, you mentioned about, you know, officiating and so on, NFL. Now, I was busy yesterday afternoon, so I'm kind of tuning in and out to games, and I tune in the Ravens-Vikings game. Now, I didn't watch the whole game. I just watched a part. I watched the end of the first half. And so the Ravens have the ball. Lamar Jackson's at quarterback. They're trying to drive for a touchdown. Vikings player, I can't remember who the guy was, comes in for a sack. And Lamar Jackson still has the ball in his hand. He hasn't thrown the ball away. He's still holding on to the ball. And the guy comes in for his sack, and he tackles Lamar Jackson, who's still holding the ball. Now, that would be a sack, right? Right? He's still holding the ball. That would be a sack. Except, of course, it was called roughing the passer. I'm thinking, oh, for goodness sakes. If the running back had been holding the ball and this guy had done the same tackle, it would have been a tackle for a loss. Remember, only quarterbacks get sacked. So if you look at the replays, probably online, the Vikings guy kind of takes on Lamar Jackson. They're both going to the ground. There's nothing the Vikings player can do about gravity. There's nothing he can do about gravity. They are going down to the ground. And so the guy essentially lands on top of Lamar Jackson and gets called for roughing the passer. Now, would that be one that they could bet on? Could you bet on something like that? I mean, pretty much it seems like you could, I mean, in baseball, if you can bet on a pitch, is this going to be a ball or a strike? There are people that bet on this. Is it going to be a ball or a strike? The next pitch, is it going to be a ball or a strike? Make your bet. Well, I can understand. No, that's not the word I want. I could see how some people would say to a pitcher, okay, fourth pitch or third pitch to this guy, make sure it's outside for a ball. And you'll get $5,000. Okay. So apparently these Cleveland guys, this didn't happen once. Apparently it happened at least twice, where the idea, this pitch needs to be a ball. And so somebody places a bet thinking, okay, it's going to be a ball. Ball two. Oh, I just won. And all the pitcher will get $5,000 for just one pitch. Make sure it's a ball. I agree with you. This is going to get really bad. This is, I mean, it's already bad. The question is, how much are we going to discover? I mean, this somebody, I don't know, Congress, somebody needs to step in and just outlaw some of this stuff. We need to go back to basic, okay, who's going to win and lose? Who's going to cover the spread and not? You know, the basic stuff. Or, you know, see now, there, if you predict, okay, Aaron Rodgers is going to throw for over 200 yards tonight. Well, what's to stop Aaron from getting to about 195 and then start grounding the ball? Not much. That and the fact that we need to outlaw the Steelers playing on Sunday nights. Can we do that? Is that possible?
I had the under a number of times. Aaron Rodgers was going to run circles in the end zone until he finally got hit and dropped.
Let's take a call.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Jeff. I know Scott doesn't go back this far, but I know you do. I think we hearken back to what Jack Lambert said. Why don't we just put dresses on them?
Yep. I remember that. It is a little silly.
Caller, I'm a little older than Jeff is, so yes, I remember Jack Lambert, and yes, I remember dresses. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, let's put a skirt on them, then we'll know we're not allowed to touch them.
I mean, it wasn't roughing the passer. There's nothing that player could have done. He had his embrace on Jackson. He was sacking him, and then gravity just takes over. Ooh, boom, you go to the ground. Roughing the passer. I was like, oh, my God.
Jeff, I got my radio turned off like a good boy. Could you, at some section here in the near future, because I'm going to lose a signal probably soon here, could you run down quickly the, I know all the number one wrestlers we have and stuff like that, and I don't know why we don't have 10, but at any rate, it's probably a recruiting problem. could you just briefly run down what you anticipate or maybe already know what the starting lineup's going to be Friday night?
Sure, we can do that.
Yeah, I'd really appreciate it because I'm just anxious to know if my predictions are correct.
Gotcha.
Okay, I appreciate it. You guys have a great week. Thanks.
You as well. Appreciate the phone call.
You want to do that now or after the break? What do you want to do? We're a bit late for a break here. You want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take
a break. All right, let's take our break because commercials are important. Mm-hmm. All right, yes, we'll get to that newsy stuff. Yes, newsy stuff over the weekend. Very interesting. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. More of that, more of your calls when we come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
It's Let's Talk on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is wide open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. That's 814-954-7266 if you wish to weigh in on the big show this morning.
All right, wrestling lineup. Yeah, why aren't all 10 guys ranked number one? Like, wait a minute, there's something wrong.
It's an outrage.
There's something that's mixed up here. So, I don't know, do you have this stuff memorized, like off the top of your head? So we'll see if we can get, I mean, well, let's see, this is 5 days. Have they even set the lineup for this matchup Friday night? Is it set, or are they still trying to figure it out?
It is not set. Cale Sanderson and selected members of the team will meet with the media tomorrow. My expectation, and this is just an expectation, nothing set in stone here, and there's a couple where I'm going to give you either or because I don't know. We'll see. I think this first these first couple of months, some things will still be working through and getting sorted out in terms of who will be the long-term projected starter. But Luke Lilidahl, likely to be at 125. Marcus Blaze, likely to be at 133. My anticipation would be Aaron Nagao at 141, Shane Van Ness at 149, either Tyler Kasak or PJ Duke at 157, Mitchell Messenbrink at 165, Levi Haynes at 174, Rocco Welsh at 184, Josh Barr, if he's healthy enough, at 197, otherwise Connor Mirasola, and then at heavyweight, it is going to be either Lucas Cochran or Cole Mirasola, and I think both those guys are really good options for the Nittany Lions moving forward this season. But we'll see if Cale gives any definitive word on a few of those weights. You know, I think 141, 157, and 197 are the ones, in the heavyweight, not 197 if Josh Barr is healthy, and heavyweight are the three weight classes that would appear to maybe have some questions going into the season in terms of who will be the starter long term there. But man, it is amazing. The accumulation of just good people and remarkable wrestling talent that Penn State has in that room right now. And again, season opens Friday night, Oklahoma, Bryce Jordan Center, 6 o'clock.
All right. Listen in, watch it, all that sort of. Go. This wouldn't be a sellout, would it, Friday night?
I have not heard that. I don't know.
All right, because you normally go to the big place. I mean, they have portions of the facility, like, cordoned off or closed off or...
If need be, hopefully not for the... season opener.
The whole thing. All right. Okay. There we go.
The Center Film Festival underway today, and all kinds of great opportunities to check out films of all kinds, just a wide variety of films. This is a really neat event. There are shuttles being provided that can take you to and from the Roland Theater in Phillipsburg. It'll be going from the White Building on the Penn State campus to Roland and then back. You can check out the schedule there. This has really become a big-time event. We had Pearl Gluck in last week, and she is just amazing. We got to go to one of her classes, the Mad Turtle, and Marissa and I last week, and just amazing, some of the talent that we have on this campus and throughout the state. And so if you're looking for something to do, you have a few hours to kill here or there throughout the course of the week, I would strongly encourage you to check out the Center Film Festival and some of the really unique opportunities that we are privileged to have in our area this week.
Now, I'll tell you what, we're lucky. Now, Pearl again joined us last week, and she brought us a printed guide, which, by the way, this guide is gigantic. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in the next 6 days. Around the State College area, wherever there are like newsstands, you might be able to find one of these printed programs. Otherwise, website centerfilm.org, R-E, centerfilm.org. Again, it's amazing. The movies start at 11:30 this morning. let's see, UEC Theaters 12. That's the big movie house near the Nittany Mall. All right, they're going to be airing a bunch of these movies. I mean, and if you're thinking, again, movies like, okay, hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hour movies, man, that sounds like a lot of time. If I'm reading this right, the very first movie they're going to air today is 2 minutes long. It's a two-minute, it's not a movie, it's a short. This is a two-minute short from Spain. That's interesting. And then that will be followed by a two-hour movie about sort of things going on in Ukraine, which looks like an interesting movie. Actually, yeah, it's Ukraine, all right? There's several countries mentioned here.
Yeah.
The one I want to see, if I can, tomorrow evening is this movie called Nuremberg, because I'm a history guy. And, I mean, most of these movies do not have big-name actors in them that you would recognize their names. Nuremberg has Russell Crowe. So, obviously, very famous actor. There might be one or two others in there as well. The interesting, now, the Nuremberg movie is going to air tomorrow night at the UEC near the Nittany Mall. The movie is supposed to start at 7 o'clock. It's a two-hour movie. And then what's neat is, apparently, I'm assuming after the movie, the author of the book that the movie is based on is going to be there. And he's going to have like a Q&A, which is pretty cool.
That's always cool
when you get a chance to the author, the director, you know, all that sort of stuff. And there's a bunch of these over the course of the week. So if you like movies, if you like entertainment, again, there's a lot of shorts, like 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, which are kind of, they're almost like the previews when you go to a regular movie. It's kind of like that, except it's not a preview. It's the whole thing. A two-minute movie from Spain. All right, we have to keep an eye on that one. That's kind of wild. All right, let me go back to wrestling. Let's go to the other wrestling, otherwise known as the U.S. Senate. I'm actually surprised that some of those people don't break out in wrestling matches. You know, all the rancor that's in the United States Senate. Now, if somehow you didn't follow this last night, they actually found a way to get the 60 votes to get past the filibuster so that they can actually pass a bill that would end the government shutdown. Okay, I'm going to ring the bell for that one. Now, some of you are happy. Some of you are furious. This will be interesting to see how this turns out this week. The final vote was 60 to 40. All right, the two interesting, well, three interesting things. All right, number one, again, there aren't 60 Republican senators, so they had to get some Democrats to change their view. And amazingly, last night, they did. Well, technically, seven Democrats and one independent. Okay, eight Democrats. All right, just give me a break. Yes, John Fetterman was one of those. Now, we knew that. He's been voting that way almost from the beginning. Like, end this, end this, end this. It's interesting. Now, let's see. I'm going down here. Dick Durbin, who's a high-ranking senator from Illinois, voted yes. Now, the interesting thing about Mr. Durbin is he's about to retire. All right? His time is almost done. Jean Shaheen from New Hampshire. Well, she's about to retire. Good timing. There we go. Who are the other ones here? Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada. Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire. Now, they're up for re-election in 28. So is Fetterman. That's important to remember because some people are going to, they've got a giant grudge on their shoulder right now. Okay. Tim Kaine of Virginia. Jackie Rosen of Nevada. Angus King, the alleged independent from Maine. He always votes Democrat. What's his independent stuff? He's up for election in 2030. Now, not everybody's happy about this. Bernie Sanders is livid over this. All right, let's see. Here's a quote. It would be a horrific mistake because, again, now, if you were listening on Friday, yours truly had a plan. We actually want to lower health care costs. I had the plan. And by the way, if you missed it, 987thefox.info, Let's Talk interviews page. It's right there, pretty much right now at the top of the page. 15 minutes, you can hear my plan. All right, if you missed, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. The plan is, okay, those Obamacare subsidies, we'll renew them for two more years. Not one, two. But then in those 2 years, we're going to completely revamp the healthcare system in this country so that it's independent, it's wide open, it's unfettered competition. People have much more choices in where they can go to get their healthcare done, a lot of changes to health insurance and so on. So in other words, we're going to throw competition. That's the only way you're going to get healthcare costs down. The only way. And yet people keep standing in the way and not allowing this to happen. Now we want to keep shoveling more tax money into it. Folks, that's not the answer. It's made the problem worse. Obamacare has made the problem worse. There are Democrats now coming out saying this. They're admitting it. Yeah, this really has made a mess of things. Well, of course, if you're a socialist like Bernie Sanders, oh, no, you want more. No, we need more tax money shoveled into this deal. His quote, if Democrats cave on this issue, what it will say to Donald Trump is that he has a green light to go forward toward authoritarianism. Bernie. Well, okay, Bernie, I expect this from you because you're a socialist. All right. Only the government can solve problems.
That's right.
Right, Bernie? So we need more money, more debt, more spending.
They're all just right? here to help.
More control. More control. That's a clear socialism item. More control. Not by you, individual people. No, them. One man's opinion. Them. So again, we go back to, well, Donald Trump's being an authoritarian. No! It's about we want to actually maybe lower the cost of health care in this country for the first time. That's what we want. All right, Bernie? Start finding real solutions, Bernie. But see, Bernie doesn't want to do that because it is about control. Socialism is about control, controlling you. The folks in New York City apparently are about to start finding this out early next year. All right, the mayor's race, all that stuff. Now, first off, this thing is a long way from being over. What they did last night is they got past the filibuster. So now they can move forward, get a bill done, get it passed in the Senate. Then it has to go to the House, and then they have to approve it. Now, simple majority works over there. Boom. Then it has to go to Trump, where he would be expected to sign it. Okay. That could take a week. So for folks with SNAP food stamp benefits, you're going to have to wait some more. For folks, we're worried about the air traffic controllers. You're going to have to wait some more. I mean, could this happen in 2 or 3 days? Maybe. But all the versions I've seen, this is going to take a week to them to finally get everything done, passed, approved, signed. So it's not over yet. And do you think some people are going to do their best to stand in the way? Of course they are. Like Bernie. Bernie's going to try everything he can do to stand in the way. AOC is going to do everything she can do to stand in the way. So-called progressives are going to do everything they can do to stand in the way. And amazingly, apparently Rand Paul is going to take his swing at it. And I'm told this is about the hemp industry in Kentucky. Senator Paul, I have respect for you, but seriously, that's why you keep voting no? The hemp industry in Kentucky? That's why you're voting no? Whew, okay. I don't know, maybe the hemp industry. See, I thought Kentucky was big on bourbon. Apparently, they're big on hemp. Oh, what can we use hemp for? All right, let me think on that one. So this is not over yet. We'll be talking about this over the course of the week to see if these people can finally end the federal government shutdown. Good luck with that. Anyway, all right, we got to take a break right here because we're a little behind. We have another segment of Open Time. We're going to talk weather with Joe Bastardi a little later on, so stay tuned for that. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll be right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Snow has stopped. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, will be joining us in a little bit. We head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
Good. Well, listen, Scott, I just heard your rant about the insurance.
Yes.
And I know where you stand, and I don't totally disagree with you.
Okay.
But I'm going to point out something because you're not old enough to remember this.
Ouch.
I don't. Okay.
I'm 62. I'm slightly old, but go ahead.
Well, you know, I got about 20 more years on you.
Ah,
so just
all right.
Go.
Well, then you go ahead.
We'll just,
go.
We'll just
go
back a little bit further.
All right.
I'm going to talk about some real issues. Back in the early 70s or late 60s, health insurance was practically a given to people as a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, it got to the point where, well, you know, they kept going up and up, and then we got to the point where we asked our people to pay 50% of their health coverage. But then it got worse yet, and it kept going to be 100.
Mm-hmm.
Now, understand, during those periods, it was free competition. All right?
Okay.
So I'm kind of blowing a hole a little bit in what you want to do.
Go ahead.
Is give it competition, because I don't think that's going to solve the problem. It might help, but it's not going to solve the problem. Now, do I think the ACA itself has done a good job? No, there's holes in that that need to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But the Republicans, okay, which I know you go that view,
mm-hmm.
they have not presented anything in 10 years.
That's true.
To fix it.
Yeah, that's true.
To fix any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what the fix is. I'm not advocating that. I'm saying that, you know, I don't think free competition is going to answer it either. Now, here's the issue that I have. You know, Mount Nittany, Geisinger, the new hospital, they just keep building and adding to it. Well, doesn't that continue to add to the cost of insurance?
Sure it does.
And
mm-hmm.
what we're all paying? You know, a number of years ago, and I'm going to say probably 25 years ago, there was I think it was during the Clinton administration, I can't remember for sure, that what they did is if one hospital had a particular, let's say a CAT scan, and another hospital in the same locality wanted one, they said, no, we're not going to pay for that, which comes out of insurance and federal dollars. Well, for some reason or another, that went away. So now we have Penn Highlands moving in here with a new hospital, and I just don't understand. I guess I'm just pointing out issues that continue to raise the cost. And I don't know. I guess I'm going to say this because I have a friend of mine who's a retired surgeon now, made a comment to me here about a year or so ago. And again, you're going to say, well, that's socialism. But he said, Rich, I don't think the only way that that's going to solve it is we're going to have a one-payer system.
See, that's government-controlled health care, which freaks me out.
Well, it might freak you out, but, I mean, I don't know how else you're ever going to get it down to, you know, some kind of a reasonable price for
well,
people.
Well, I tell you, caller, I mentioned this on Friday, all right? I'm still a big believer in unfettered competition. Number one, it's worked in every other industry. All right, there's tons of industries where people could have gone wild with pricing, but when the competition is like wide open and well publicized and people have a chance to see prices and costs and so on, okay, do I want to get the $500 television set or will the $300 television set do just fine for me? I think I'd like to get the $300 television set. And so over time, I mean, if you remember when flat-screen TVs first came out, the prices were ridiculous. Remember that? It was nuts. But over time, it's like, okay, more and more coming out, more and more getting publicized. Prices came right down. I've got a little bit of a knee problem right now. Nothing major, more an annoyance. And I had an appointment a few weeks ago, and I had an X-ray done. All right, X-ray on my knee. Like, okay, let's see inside your knee to make sure there's nothing bad going on. So I go in this X-ray room. This is Geisinger, by the way. Go in this X-ray room. I'm in the X-ray room, I don't know, 5 minutes, not very long. And the very helpful attendants, like, okay, stand this way, okay, stand this way. And she kind of moved me, not the camera, to take different, you know, x-rays of my knee. I was in there for like 5 minutes. And this isn't the old days where they would have to develop film, and so it's all digital now. So, boom, they had an instant picture. And so later on, the physician assistant comes in. She's like, okay, here's the x-rays, and we're looking at my knee. Knee looks good. So I've got a meniscus problem, which is very annoying. Okay, that's great. Later on, I found out how much that x-ray would have cost me if I had paid it out of pocket. It would have been like $500 for a five-minute procedure. Now, if I had known that, now my insurance covered it. Yay for me. If I had known that, and if I had more openness, like, okay, if I'm getting an x-ray in my knee, I go here, it costs this much. I go here, it costs this much. I go here, it costs this much. Oh, that's a good deal. I think I'll take that one over there. You think the other, over time, the other health outlets are going to say, hey, we're losing business here. We better start lowering our prices so that we're more competitive with these folks over here. Open, unfettered competition works, but that's not how our system is set up, and so we keep shoveling more money at this stuff. I mean, caller, you said it. Why are we adding a wing here? Why are we adding this here? Why are we adding that there? Because healthcare companies can do that because they know the money is going to keep shoveling in to pay for it. So that competition works. We've just never done it. All right, I'll give you a chance before we have to take a break. Go ahead.
I can't refute kind of what you said. I'm just saying that insurance, to buy the insurance itself, back in the 70s, and as it went on, it got to the point where you couldn't even afford it to for your employees, and they can't afford it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, again, that was free competition.
Well, that was 50 years ago. How much was a loaf of bread 50 years ago? How much was a gallon of gas 50
years ago? I don't care if it was 50 years ago or not. The concept is still the same.
We got to take a break in a moment. I'd have to take a closer look at what you're talking about from 50 years ago. All I know is the system right now doesn't work.
I don't disagree with you there.
And when all of us are in the dark about how much a medical procedure costs,
yeah,
we would never do that with a house. We would never do that with a car. We would never do that with anything else. But for some reason, we do it with health care. Oh, after it's all done, okay, here's the bill. We would never allow that with other things in life. Why do we allow it with this? It's nuts.
Well, I know we're not going to solve it, but anyhow, I wanted to add my...
Well,
no, I appreciate
that. Thank you. We have to solve it, or we're in deep trouble. Actually, we're already in deep trouble. We have to solve this, and we have to do it relatively quickly, like in a couple of years. And so that's why I threw my crazy idea out Friday morning.
And the producer is telling me we have to take a commercial break, or we'll be in big trouble.
Let's go.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7,
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. It is time to check in with Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Joe, you told us there were going to be flurries in the air today, and there are flurries in the air today, and I'm not happy.
Well, there are flakes all over the place.
Well, that is true.
They've been here. By the way, I conducted a little experiment the other night at my equivalent of Cheers is Spotchaluna, okay? There were some Indiana fans in there. And I asked them how they liked the Penn State fans. And they said, in town it was great. It got a little interesting during the football game, they said. I could still remember the first time Michigan fans came to town. I could not believe it. I was having, like, flashbacks to being down at A&M when the University of Texas fans showed up, you know. They're moaning and crying. It's unbelievable how bad A&M and Texas hate each other. Even when they weren't playing, they absolutely would hate each other. All they would do is, if their team had a bad day, was rip on the other. It's such a crazy rivalry. And I know we got rivalries up here. No. I mean, every railroad bridge, if you drive from College Station to Austin, every railroad bridge will have beat the hell out of Texas on the Aggie side, and on the other side says beat the hell out of A&M. And when you have two fight songs, which are basically committed to beating each other, right? If you ever Texas fight, and it's goodbye to A&M. To rival the goodbye to Texas University. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So, we're blessed up here that we have not reached the point where we're stealing mascots and serving them up to the football team like they did, I guess it was in 1958 or something. They stole Bevo and carved him up for steaks.
I don't know, Joe, because we do have the Land Grant Trophy and all that comes with it on the line this Saturday, and that seems like it's pretty heated.
That Land Grant Trophy is just unbelievable. By the way, the solution is, people look at the Missouri coach. And all I could say is I reviewed the Missouri coach because A&M has just whipped the tar out of them the last 3 years in a row. And I was looking at him, if A&M is a big game for Missouri, they've been losing their big games by 21 points on average to a team that, you know, up until this year has been less than what they should have been, put it that way. But I think I've reviewed everything. Even though I was competing in Virginia on Saturday, I did watch the first half, and then I saw what happened at the end. Folks, I'm going to make the revelation right now. until such a time that the Jopa statue is returned to its rightful place, we will continue to be snake bit. That is the only... think about it.
Curse of the Jopa statue.
Yeah. I want you to think about it. Just do Achman's razor. Just eliminate all the other things. I mean, blades of grass. When it comes down to blades of grass making the difference in your season, folks, you've got to say to yourself, okay, something bigger is going on here. All right, so that's my solution. I'm partial to it because his name ended in a vowel. My name ends in a vowel. So I guess you want to talk about the weather a little bit here.
Well, I mean, we could get around to that now that you mention it. Okay. What with it being November and all, and
November 14th, isn't that the beginning of wrestling season? How about that?
It's actually
already started for some of the guys. Tyler went in and won the NYAC. I guess they call it the Bill Ferrell. It was always NYAC to me, but that was big, of course, and we had some guys in the Journeyman Classic, I guess it was.
Yep.
And it's always a fun time of the year to watch that stuff rev up, and it'll be interesting to see who exactly is on the mat Friday night.
Yes,
but
indeed.
The weather Friday night shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah.
And I know we're not going to have to worry about any precipitation inside the Bryce Jordan Center, and chances are outside the center, the weather will be nice for parking and walking in to the match. So that's very important.
Make sure you park head in, fans going up to that event.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of weird because if you're in the South, no one parks head in. You know, people are considering. See, here's the attitude. You know, the times I've been at A&M in Alabama and Mississippi, I've been to these places. What happens is that people will take the time before the game because you have time before the game. Or you come in 4 hours early or whatever it is, and they will park so they can pull out straight rather than what happens here when you're parked straight in like that. I mean, you got to back out. You got to worry about cars coming. Cars have to stop. And I think it really adds on to that to how long it takes to get out of the parking lot.
You would be correct.
And so I'm kind of wondering about, you know, is this one of these unnecessary rules? Because obviously it's easier to drive looking forward than it is backing out. And, you know, if you get to the game 3 or 4 hours in advance, you know, why can't you park facing out? Now, for the ticket, the people that have to, you know, count the illegal scufflaws that are in their parking, you know, all you got to do is walk down the middle. And you can still see the license plate.
What?
It's not like it's... anyway, okay.
Well, that would mean they have to get out of their vehicle, their little parking vehicle.
They're not willing to do that.
Come on, let's not ride on the park. You know, this is... If I run into the Pat Kraft on Friday night at the match, I'm just going to say to him in a nice way, not going to bring anything up about the football coaching situation, but the parking situation. I am a defender of those who wish to park facing out.
Hear.
Ring the bell. This is something in a 3-6 season that we can actually do and get changed here. We can't change a football season so far. But, okay, a lot of cold. When you get up tomorrow morning, there will be snow on there, a little bit of snow on the ground in area. It's late tonight and tomorrow morning that the lake effect lines up pretty good to get into Center County completely. The bulk of the serious snow is going down to the south of us through West Virginia and the mountains down there, rather than aimed at us. It's because the gradient that we have is out of the north. All right, so when you have a north wind, Lake Ontario is north of us, but when the wind is northwest, you get the wind coming off Lake Huron and Lake Erie, and it does deliver snow squalls all the way down to State College, so we probably have to deal with that. I haven't seen any reports of the annual I-80 crack-up yet, so hopefully we have people that know that when you're driving on the first snow squalls of the season, especially, the snow will tend to melt and then refreeze. In other words, it hits, and what happens is when it melts, it becomes liquid, and the evaporation cools it back down to freezing, so it forms ice, and then it snows on top of it again. This is this whole black ice theory. So people have to be very careful with that type of thing late tonight into tomorrow morning. And then a lot of wind coming up this week, but temperatures moderate back toward normal, a few degrees below normal, and not much going on the rest of this week. Next week it's going to get pretty warm, I think. I have some days where it may hit 60, go a little bit higher. But I am really bullish on this Thanksgiving to Christmas idea of and probably New Year's of a lot of cold, stormy weather, above normal snowfall. And I like the idea of above normal snowfall before for the Christmas season, before Christmas. Now, whether you keep it on the ground Christmas Day or not, like last year, we got it wiped out. We got it wiped out like 2 days before Christmas here. We did, you know, further east, it was still a white Christmas. But I think it's a good shot at a white Christmas this year for much of Pennsylvania, not just Center County. It's snowing outside my house right now, even
this
as
is
I
not,
speak.
This is not nearly as boring of a forecast as I want to hear for the winter months, Mr. Bastard.
And by the way, today is the anniversary of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And put a lot of stuff on Weather Bell and on Twitter on that. What happened was you had one of these freshwater fury situations where low pressure came up over Lake Superior and really focused all the energy at the center. So these guys were coming from the east, and there were pretty high waves. The winds weren't that bad in the eastern part of Lake Superior. But once they went through what was literally looked like an eye of a storm, they got on the other side, and that's when all you know what broke loose with the hurricane winds and everything else that was going on with that on the backside of that storm. But of course, it's made immortal there by Gordon Lightfoot. But this time of the year, there are a lot of big storms around. Tomorrow's the anniversary of the 1968 monster snowstorm here, 2 feet of snow in State College, November 11, 1968. And I was down at the Jersey Shore. I'll never forget, well, my dad, hey, take a look out the window. And the pine trees were snapping. Because this thing was another one of these things. And this is an example of the extreme weather events you get, that it literally started looking like a hurricane as it came up the eastern seaboard. It was obviously non-tropical. And once you got back in the mountains here, it was an unbelievable snowstorm. And when I first got to Penn State, I would hear tales of, the Weather World forecast Friday, I guess it was Monday, the night the storm was coming up. We had just had 2 to 4 inches of snow on a Sunday before, and then it was for another 2 to 4 inches of snow, and we wound up with 2 feet of snow. They'd always talk about that in the weather tower when I first got up to Penn State about the 1968 Veterans Day storm. So not quite as bad. And as far as the weather tomorrow goes, certainly going to be a wintry day, and you're going to see snow, and mountains, I think, are going to get whitened. Areas of the valley, you may wake up tomorrow morning with some snow on the ground. When I first got here in 73, November 73, there were 3 separate snow squall outbreaks, including the late night and morning of the North Carolina State game, a game we were supposed to win by a lot. We wound up winning 35-29. And in 1981, I think it was, we had a snowstorm around Veterans Day that dumped 8 inches of snow in 6 hours, and it became my fantasy storm. And my fantasy storm is this: that we have a 3:30 football game at Beaver Stadium, okay? And it starts snowing just as everybody's sitting in their seat. And when they come out at the end of the game, there's 5-6 inches of snow. And then we'll see how good it is that you have to back out when you're parking with 6 inches of snow on the ground.
So for those that are dreaming of a white Veterans Day, the dream is still alive, very much.
Well, yeah,
so.
Oh yeah, I a little bit. I think there'll be a skip of snow on the ground in a lot of places. I can't, you know, these 5-10 mile wide snow squalls are really hard to time up. I mean, we had one come through last year. Our biggest snow of the season last year was the snow squall that hit the night they were blowing up the west side of Beaver Stadium. They blew it up Saturday morning. We had 4 inches of snow that night from a snow squall. I think it is, Center Hall had about 6 inches with that. Every once in a while, if they line up the right way, you can get hammered here. But I think it's probably more like a half inch in most places. If the band lines up tomorrow morning, you'll know it when you get up in the morning if it's lined up over top of you, because there'll be 2 inches of snow on the ground.
Then it's going to be cold all week, Joe. We've got about 30 seconds.
No, it's going to moderate after this. A lot of wind this week. Tomorrow only be 33, 34 degrees, but then we'll be back in the 40s and 50s for the rest of the week, which is still a little bit below normal. Normal high is about 50 right now. So it'll still be a little bit below normal, and there'll be a lot of wind, I think. We'll get more of the leaves in my neighborhood will just blow into the neighborhood down the street, so that'll be pretty cool.
Well, regardless of whatever weather we get, Mr. Bastardi, what should we do with that there weather?
Return the statue and we'll start winning again, and we'll enjoy the weather because it's the only weather we got.
I like it. Let's bring the statue back and enjoy that weather. Folks, enjoy your Monday, and Scott and I will be back to bother you some more tomorrow.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox. Fox Sports.